Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's taken from the last few verses of Proverbs chapter 4. And I would encourage you to turn your Bible to that passage in Proverbs 4, because we're going to just be basically looking at that passage this evening. It may very well be that we allow ourselves sometimes to treat the symptoms instead of getting at the real disease or the real infection. A person can have a fever, a headache, and maybe pains all over the body. The real cause of that may be a bad infection somewhere, but if he goes to the doctor and the doctor just tells him to take some Tylenol for his fever and maybe gives him something for his headache and something to relieve the pain and doesn't run some tests to find out where the infection is and doesn't treat it, he may make that person feel better, may even make him feel better for several days, and it's possible for that person to die because he's treating the symptoms and is not treating the real problem. A person might be short of breath, as we sometimes describe it, not have a lot of energy, maybe even have some chest pains. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor looks at those symptoms, and he treats those symptoms, makes him feel better. And a few days later, the person has a heart attack because the problem was with his heart, and the doctor didn't do anything about that. He just treated the symptoms. Sometimes when you and I have a child, maybe a baby or a small child at home that begins to run a fever, we think as long as we can give him a baby aspirin or baby Tylenol or something like that, that'll take care of it. And perhaps an hour later, the baby's feeling better. But it is possible for a baby like that to die if we do not treat the real problem. I really think that's what's happening to us many times, spiritually speaking. We are treating the symptoms instead of the real problem. If you will look at the passage that we just read, you will notice that the mouth is talked about in verse 24. The eyes in verse 25, and the feet in verse 26 and 27. There are some problems indicated with the mouth in verse 24, with the eyes in the next verse, and with the feet. And there seems to be some indication that there needs to be some treatment of these problems. But if you'll look back at verse 23, you find the real problem. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now digest that verse for a moment. Notice the phrase issues of life. He's talking about life. He's talking about what goes on in life. And all of us are concerned about life. Before he mentions some of the specifics that come in the next three or four verses, he says, you've got to get your heart right if the issues in life are going to be right. And that's the one thing that I want us to get tonight, if we don't get anything else, that we have got to get our hearts right in the sight of God. And perhaps we will never take care of the spiritual infections that we have and the spiritual diseases that we have if we don't learn to go beyond the treatment of the symptoms and get to the real problem, spiritually speaking. I am not suggesting that we forget the symptoms. Certainly it is good for us to take something like Tylenol if we have a fever, and many times something like that will cause the fever to go down, the temperature to go down when we have a fever. I'm not suggesting that we not take something for a headache. Usually when I have a headache, it's an Excedrin headache. And if I'll take two Excedrin, especially if I can take them just as I begin to get a headache, it usually will take care of it. And most of the time, that's all that's necessary. I don't have one the next day. But if I continued to have the headache, I might take two Excedrin every 4 hours and keep the pain down. But if there's something there that's causing that headache, and I don't treat it, I could have some serious problems. Think with me for just a moment about verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Many of the problems that we have in religion and in life are associated with the mouth. I have made the statement, and I continue to believe, that one of my biggest problems has to do with the tongue or the mouth. There are a lot of areas in life where people have problems that do not tempt me at all. But as you know, I like to talk. And if I'm not careful, sometimes I can say something I ought not to say, and maybe times there's something I should say that I don't say. I really think some of my biggest problems in life are with the mouth. The Bible talks about problems with the mouth. 1 Timothy 5:13, for example, talks about tattling and the idea of gossip. Revelation 21, verse 8, verse 27, talk about lies, using the mouth to tell something that's not true. Many times our words can be expressed in a way of anger, or in a way that will hurt someone else. And we need to be concerned about that. We need to be concerned about controlling our tongues, as James particularly points out, if we're going to have pure religion. And that if we're going to bless God, we ought not to curse men with the same tongue. We need to be able to control the tongue. But controlling the tongue is just treating the symptom. The real problem goes back to the heart. Matthew 15, 18, Jesus said, these things that come out of the mouth, proceed from the mouth, come forth from the heart. And these are the things that defile the man. In Mark 7, 7, he said, it's possible to worship in vain if we teach the doctrines of men. And just before that, he said, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The words that were coming forth from the mouth were not really sincere. They were somewhat hypocritical, as the Pharisees are described in Matthew 23. But he said the real problem is with the heart. They don't have the heart really sold on God, really committed to God. And so the words that are coming forth from that are words that have to do with problems because the heart is not right in the sight of God. Sometimes we have trouble with the mouth and keeping it closed. Most of the time our problem is that it is open and ought to be closed, but there are times that it is closed and ought to be open. When we need to defend the truth, stand up for God, teach the gospel, give a kind word to someone else, if we close the mouth and we keep silent on occasions like that, we've got a problem. But the problem really goes to the heart. Because you see, if we have the right kind of love in our hearts for one another and for God, it'll just be impossible to keep us from saying good things to others, encouraging others, giving kind remarks. And if we're really sold in the heart about the need of teaching the gospel and using our mouths to teach the gospel, we won't have much problem presenting the word of God to other people. The mouth problem, the tongue problem, is really a heart problem. If we get our hearts right, we shouldn't have so much trouble controlling our words to keep them true and kind and good, and using the opportunities that we have to teach the word of God. Are we just treating the symptoms, maybe? And not getting back to the heart. The next verse talks about the eyes. He says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee, having concern about what we see. We've just been talking about what we say. Now he says we need to have some concerns about the things that we see. Well, a lot of times we have problems with the eyes. Lust is mentioned in James chapter 1, verse 15. Lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Jesus warned men, particularly in Matthew 5, 28, to be careful about how they look on a woman, to lust after her, committing adultery already with her. But notice he says, in the heart. The eye problem eventually comes back to the heart problem. Many times, if we had our hearts right, we would know how to shut our eyes and look the other way when there's something that we don't need to see. And certainly, we would not be using our eyes to look over on the next housetop like David did, or to be down on the corner just watching the girls go by and looking with lustful thinking to other people. The problem, you see, is not with the eyes looking. It's not whether the eyelids are opened or closed. It's whether or not the heart is right in the sight of God. And if we could get all of us as husbands to get our hearts right with each one with his own wife and with his God, he would not be thinking about looking at somebody else with a lustful look. If we could get our hearts committed, in fact, if we would go back to think about those vows that we made to each other to become husband and wife, and we really were committed to those vows and really loved each other in that spousal arrangement like we should, we wouldn't have trouble with our eyes looking somewhere else if we just could get our hearts right in our relationship with each other in the family and in the church and our relationship to God. The problem is an eye problem, but it's more a heart problem. And also, when we start talking about understanding God's word and seeing the truth and knowing what the truth is, the eye problem we have most of the time really goes back to a heart problem. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 13 through 15, that there were some people who seeing see not and hearing hear not, neither do they understand. He said they have stopped their ears and closed their eyes and hardened their hearts to where they won't listen to what I'm saying, and they won't let the word of God come into their hearts that they might really believe, know the truth, and believe the truth. You see, the problem most of the time when we don't understand what the truth is not that the truth isn't there. And it's not that we don't see it. It's that the heart is not right. Just recently, someone was telling me about a conversation that he had with another person about a doctrinal point. And he said, the other person said, yes, I know the Bible says that, but I don't take it very seriously. You see, his eyes were open to what the Bible had to say, but his heart was not in the right place. He was not really taking what God said seriously. He was not, as we might say sometimes, taking it to heart. And so the problem was not really an eye problem. It was a heart problem. Then in the next two verses, he talks about the feet. He says you need to think about the path of your feet. The latter part of verse 27, he says you need to remove your feet from evil. We've talked about what we see and what we say, and now we're talking about where we go. He says you need to be careful about your feet, where you go. Even the little boys and girls remember the song that we sometimes sing, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, and be careful, little ears, what you hear, and little hands, what you do, and little feet, where you go. Be careful where you go. We get into a lot of trouble by going to the wrong place. Sometimes an innocent person will get into some trouble because he's at the wrong place. I started to say at the wrong time, but maybe at the right time to get into trouble. He's just with the wrong crowd. He goes to a place where they're doing things that shouldn't be done. Thinks he won't get involved, but he gets involved because he's at the wrong place. That comes back to having the right kind of heart. You see, the person who has no desire for these places where evil is done is not going to be going there. If a person has no desire for alcohol or other drugs, he's not going to frequent the local beer joint. He has no desire to be involved intimately with somebody to whom he's not married. He's not going to be going to a house of ill repute, as we sometimes describe it. And he's going to be careful about his association with other people. He's not going to flirt and leave the wrong kind of impression with others if he has his heart right with God. if he's thinking on the things that he ought to have as the center of his mind. Paul said in Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. He's talking about another point in general there, but look at the words heart's desire. My heart's desire. That's what I want more than anything else. That's where we've got to solve our problems. We've got to get back to where our desire is what we really want, and we put that desire in the right place and control other problems with having the right kind of desire. Philippians 3:16 says that we need to walk by the same rule, but in the same verse it says we need to be of the same mind. And if you sort of put that together, isn't he saying that in order for us to walk the way we ought to walk and go the places we ought to go and stay away from the places where we ought not to be, we've got to get our desires right. That's the heart that he's talking about. And right in between these statements about the feet, he says, let all thy ways be established. I don't think we are exaggerating to suggest that ways there may describe lifestyles. Let your lifestyle be established. But if you tie that in with what we're saying here tonight and go back to verse 23, he says if you're going to control your lifestyle, you've got to first control your heart. What you think in your heart is going to determine your lifestyle. There's a verse on over in Proverbs at chapter 23 and verse 7 that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever one tends to think in his heart is going to determine his lifestyle. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Well, I believe you would admit that that verse is talking about a lifestyle. I live in the flesh. But the first thing that's said in that verse is, I'm crucified with Christ. If you take that statement and plug it in back over at Romans 6, he says when we become Christians that we crucify the old man. We quit thinking like the world. And we begin to think like Christ. When we are raised to walk in newness of life, he says, if then we be risen, we need to seek those things which are above and set our affection on things above. That's Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. You can't pour something out of a glass if it's not in it. And you cannot pour something into a glass if that glass is filled with something that's bad. But if we can get the right substance in the glass, then as you begin to pour, the right substance is going to come out. And so if we're going to be able to watch our mouths, what we say, our eyes, what we see, and our feet, where we go, and our lifestyle that we live, we've got to get back to get that glass filled with the right kind of substance, to get the heart right in the sight of God. Again, the wise man said in Proverbs 23, this time at verse 26, my son, give me thine heart, and let me establish thy ways. Before you can have the right kind of lifestyle, you're going to have the right kind of heart. I think we preachers may be as guilty as anybody else in violating the problem associated with the subject tonight. If we're not careful, we tend to preach on attendance and giving and visitation and personal work and things like this, being involved. And all of those are important, and perhaps they need to be treated like we would treat the symptoms. But we've got to get a little deeper in that and get us in love with God, get our hearts right with God. You won't have to beg people to say the right thing and see the right thing and go the right places and do the right thing if we can get their hearts right with God. It's a heart problem, folks. And you look at the immoral situations that develop in families, in the community, among our friends, even maybe some that we sometimes have, and you get right down to and look at it, and the problem is with the heart. If we've got the heart under control, there are just some things we just can't do. We wouldn't do it under any circumstance if we've got the heart under control. And so maybe what's needed on the part of some of us tonight is some heart surgery. To get our eyes to see the right things and our tongues to say the right things and our feet to go the right places and our lifestyles to be ones that God would approve, we need some heart surgery. We need to get our hearts right in the sight of God. And even when you think about becoming a Christian and living the Christian life in general, this is exactly what we're talking about. We ask people to believe the gospel, repent of their sins, where? In the heart. And even baptism, which is the obedience to that form of doctrine in Romans 6, is from the heart. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Even our obedience is going to take place in the right way if we can get our hearts right. And when we go astray and we make mistakes, we want to come back. We've got to get our hearts right. Before we can pray to God and ask for forgiveness, there's got to be penitence. That's getting the heart right. I think we can safely conclude that where we really need to put our time and effort and work is with the heart. Yes, maybe we do need to treat the symptoms. Maybe we need to keep the fever down while we're working on the infection. But if we don't ever get back to that infection, we can die. And if we don't get back to that infection, spiritually speaking, we can die. We've got to get our hearts right. I remember a little story that I have shared with you before about a lady who was very crippled and had difficulty walking, an older lady. But she always made it to every service of the church. And someone said, how in the world do you make all these steps as crippled as you are and as much pain as you have? And her answer was, I just throw my heart out in front and my feet follow. I think that's what I'm trying to say tonight. We've got to get our hearts out in front. And our feet and our eyes and our mouths and the rest of us will follow in the right way. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to throw your heart in the direction of Christ and follow it to Him as together we stand and sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?